Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Continue with the Kenny and JT Show. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Glad you're aboard, and we're happy to have this next guest aboard with us as well to talk Browns, and we always have him on whenever there's a hot Browns topic, and there were many over the weekend, so let's discuss them right now with Browns beat reporter at 92.3, the Fan, Daryl Ryder. D, thanks for making time for us on short notice. We always love getting you on to get your insight on this since you cover the team on a daily basis. The big news, well, one of the big stories, news stories, over the weekend was Jadeveon Clowney coming to a one-year deal with the Browns for up to $11 million. D, was this inevitable? Was this going to happen sooner or later, and Andrew Berry won the game of chicken?
I don't know that it was inevitable, but he definitely won the game of chicken, that's for sure. His patience paid off once again. Fans wanted answers a month and a half ago as far as Clowney is concerned, but Jadeveon wasn't in a hurry to sign anywhere, and so Andrew Berry was patient, waited it out, and brought him back on a team friendly 1 year contract again, and right around the parameters that we had talked about before. One year between 10 and 12, well, they split the difference and went to 11. And he gets the lineup opposite Myles Garrett for a second straight season.
How important of a signing is this for the Browns, considering that D-line was struggling to find somebody if it wasn't going to be Clowney opposite Myles?
Well, if it wasn't going to be Clowney, it was going to be Chase Winovich. So do you tell me who you prefer to be up there, especially when you consider what they have at defensive tackle, which right now, who knows, maybe some of these guys will end up being pretty good, but right now they're all unknown quantities. So I think bringing back Clowney was critical this offseason, and mission accomplished as far as Berry is concerned there.
Daryl, how about so many other moves? Kenny brought this up earlier. We're hearing so many rumors over the weekend. Will Fuller's a name that comes to the forefront because he played with Deshaun Watson down at the Texans. Do you expect them to make any other moves between now? I know OTAs start, what, today or tomorrow, or not until training camp starts in July?
I mean, there's always a chance. You never say never again. Andrew Berry has shown his willingness to be patient, to allow moves to kind of come to him. So I still think that they're going to go with the kids at receiver behind Amari Cooper. They're paying Amari a ton of money. They're paying him $6 million more than they were paying Jarvis Landry, as well as, obviously before releasing him last year, Odell Beckham Jr. as well. So they've got significant dollars invested in that position for one single player. And they're really looking, I think, for Donovan Peoples-Jones to take a leap, Anthony Schwartz to take a leap. They've drafted, we've talked about four kids in 3 years, David Bell. Everyone in the organization's just really singing his praises and excited that they were able to get him in the third round of the draft. Jakeem Grant, the Pro Bowl returner, came over from the Bills, or I should say the Bears, rather. Not sure what he's going to provide at the receiver position. Demetric Felton, is he a running back? Is he a receiver? Is he both? So I just feel like they've got a lot of young bodies at that position. And we know GMs that bring in young players, they tend to not have to want to cut those players. And I think if they sign a receiver, they're going to have to cut one of those young players that Andrew Berry brought in. So do they go out and spend more money to bring in a number two receiver remains to be seen. I certainly won't rule it out. They've got the salary cap space to do so. The Haslams have never said no when it comes to spending money on the football team. Even when they were losing games, the Haslams spent money, right? Brock mm-hmm. Osweiler, $12 million for him to come to Cleveland to do absolutely nothing, just so they could get another second round pick. So never rule it out. But I just, when I look at the roster construction, I don't know where there's room to add
right.
another receiver without jettisoning one of the young ones that Barry brought in.
So interesting. We're speaking with Daryl Ryder. We love picking his brain about the Browns and everything, you know, building the Browns, so to speak. And you bring up some interesting points right there. And another rumor that we heard over the weekend, or at least that I had read, was Jadeveon Clowney may not have signed if Baker Mayfield were still your quarterback. Now, take that into consideration. A couple of the names that you just mentioned, and Anthony Schwartz and Demetric Felton, and did that possibly hinder their growth with Baker Mayfield at quarterback, in your opinion?
I don't know. I'll just say this. I think what we learned this offseason is that Baker Mayfield wasn't nearly as popular within the locker room as we might have thought. I mean, it's certainly, you know, the whispers started coming out late in the season, and then right after the season finale, I know a lot of defensive guys weren't all that fond of Baker, and, you know, it's tough getting a read on that kind of stuff when you don't have locker room access, and you can't walk up really to talk to guys one-on-one, whisper to them, and really get a feel of what's going on behind the scenes. But like I said, I think that we've learned that, you know, Baker wasn't nearly as popular amongst players as you'd probably like your starting quarterback to be.
You know how you get popular? You take the whole offense to the Bahamas for the weekend.
Yep. Deshaun Watson for the win right there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw the photos on his Instagram today, so looked like they had a good time. Now they're back in Berea getting ready for OTAs, which start tomorrow. But also starting tomorrow, Daryl, for the first time for viewers, will be the Real Sports on HBO with Brian Gumbel and the story on Deshaun Watson. What are you expecting from this expose tomorrow that we'll see on HBO?
Nothing good as far as Deshaun's concerned. Unfortunately for him right now, there's not much he can say or, you know, I guess from a legal standpoint, maybe that his lawyers even want him to say, because every word that comes out of his mouth potentially could be used against him in these civil suits. But yeah, I mean, I think it's two victims that were interviewed, or alleged victims, I should say, that were interviewed here that will tell their story as far as what happened with them and Deshaun, and what has led to them filing this civil action against him. But yeah, I mean, I'm anticipating it's not going to paint a very good picture. Just like the deposition stuff that's been leaked has not painted a very good picture as far as Watson and these accusations that have made by 22 women. But I don't even know what Deshaun can do from his standpoint other than just settling these cases and getting it over with and getting non-disclosure agreements signed and whatnot. But he's been very adamant that he's innocent. He feels he has done nothing wrong. You go back to his introductory press conference in Berea where he said, hey, my mom never, raised me that way, and I've never disrespected or violated a woman in my life. So he is maintaining his innocence, and he's going to fight these accusations to the end. But I'm expecting that broadcast Tuesday night is going to be pretty terrible for him, quite frankly.
Yeah, supposedly they asked him to appear, and on the advice of his attorneys, he declined. Like you said, you don't want to incriminate yourself. So he will not be on that as far as being interviewed by HBO. I'm sure you'll see the clippings from, the Browns, introductory press conference, which you were involved with and everything like that. So, all right. So, Daryl, JT and I were debating this. I'd like to see where you come out on this. I think it's going to be resolved before the season starts. JT's leaning towards no. How can they if there's 22 civil suits and they're going to cut things off at July 1st so it doesn't affect this season? With that, he thinks they won't resolve anything till after the season or next year. Where are you on this?
Well, are we talking civil cases or are we talking league
civil
discipline?
Civil case, the discipline, the NFL. I think they're hand down their discipline before the season starts.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Yeah, I think that there will be a decision from the league as to whether or not they will discipline Deshaun before the season. And then if they, let's say, just for the sake of discussion, they say there isn't enough there for us to discipline him. He did not violate the policy. However, we reserve the right to revisit this next year upon the conclusion of the civil action. But I don't even see that happen. I think he's getting suspended. I don't know for how long. Everyone seems to have an answer that they're just pulling out of their backside right now. Nobody knows what this is going to entail. And I think that there's a lot of disingenuous conversation taking place right now where people are like, oh, I think he's going to get 8 games and 10 games and they're going to look at this and they're going, nobody knows. Nobody knows. This investigation is being kept very tight-lipped. I reached out to the league on a couple of issues last week regarding it. Radio silence from them. They don't even want to really talk about it at this point. So nobody knows ultimately what's going to happen or how many games he'll be suspended, assuming he does get disciplined. But my gut tells me the league will hand down their discipline before training camp. And I do think that because of just how negative these headlines continue to be, the conduct policy is pretty broad, very gray, very ambiguous. Okay. And the league can suspend him just for bad press if they want. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but that's right. That's the reality. And right now there's a ton of bad press, and there's going to be more bad press tomorrow night with these two alleged victims telling their stories, right? And radio silence coming from Deshaun's camp other than just, you know, we disagree with what's being said. It's not true. It's his defense attorney was on a podcast today and said something to the effect of that some of the leaked testimony that was out there from depositions was inaccurate. The lawyer that put it out there wasn't even in the room when the deposition was taken, or whatever. So that's basically, you know, like, you've got a he said amongst the attorneys right now in Jesus. The media as well. But yeah, I my gut tells me Deshaun Watson gets suspended, but I don't know for how long. I just know that you know, what is being said about him, it paints a rather disgusting picture, and I think that's the best way to put it.
All right, let me ask you this then. Let's say Goodell, the committee, hands over their disciplinary decision and says we think he should be suspended for 6 games, okay, or 8. Let's go 8 tops, which is half the season. Because the first 4 games, Darryl, are very favorable in the Browns, side of things with who they play, do you think the Browns will approach Deshaun Watson and say, hey, okay, you want to appeal this, but let's not get too greedy on this because we can still win those first 4 games, 3 out of 4 at least, with Jacoby at quarterback. And if it gets reduced from 8 to 6, then that's fine. Just accept that as opposed to, you know, trying and go all out and clear your name completely.
Well, Deshaun is well within his rights to appeal, and the Browns are not allowed to tell him not to. Okay. That's a violation of the way the NFL does things. The Browns cannot tell him not to appeal because that is his right under as a member of the NFLPA. He is entitled to an appeal of any discipline, and a club cannot tell him not to appeal.
Okay.
They can maybe whisper in his ear, hey man, it might not be just like with the civil action right now. Look, I guarantee you that the Browns and the NFL would love nothing more than for him to settle these cases. But again, he says, I did nothing wrong. There's no reason for me to settle because I've done nothing wrong. I feel that I've done nothing that warrants me having to get out the checkbook to make these things go away. So,
right.
Unfortunately, his name is going to continue to be dragged through the mud until all this stuff is resolved. And unfortunately, regardless of the outcome of these cases, Kenny, like, this is something that's going to stick with him for the rest of his life. that these accusations were made. So, the Browns can't tell him not to appeal.
Okay.
The Browns would obviously love him to settle these cases and just get them over with and get non-disclosure agreements signed and put this whole chapter behind him. But he's been very steadfast in defending himself. So I expect him to appeal whatever discipline he may or may not, assuming he's disciplined. We're assuming that he will be for the sake of discussion. We're not assuming any type of guilt. Want to make that clear to your audience. But assuming that he gets disciplined, I fully expect that he will, like he's doing with these civil cases, I expect him to defend himself and to appeal whatever discipline does get handed down.
Daryl, do we know what the longest suspension has been, not being on the exempt list, on the commissioner's exempt list in the NFL to this point? Adrian Peterson comes to mind, but that wasn't a full season.
That was coming. I could have looked that up.
I just wonder, is there anything close? I mean, if you think about Adrian Peterson, you got to go back almost 10 years. I think it was like 2014 or something like that. But I'm just wondering.
Well, Josh Gordon got the longest, I think it was the most suspended or longest suspended of anyone, right? But that wasn't for conduct. That was for substance abuse.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to think.
Yeah.
Ray Rice was suspended.
Daryl, and since JT brought that up real quick, because we're up against it almost,
you asked, I am looking it up right now so I can be a little more factual for you here.
And here's what I'm wondering, too, because supposedly people were upset with the punishment handed down by Roger Goodell with Ray Rice being too lenient, might he err on the other side this time, Daryl, so he doesn't take heat from the owners, as well as, the fans out there? Might he err on the side of, too much of a suspension, the yin and the yang, if you will, to balance out what he failed to do with Ray Rice?
All right, so I pulled it up. It's on Wikipedia here.
Yeah.
All right, so Josh Brent of the Dallas Cowboys in September 2nd, 2014 was suspended 10 games, violation of personal conduct policy stemming from being convicted of manslaughter. Scrolling through here real quick, I saw a couple of 8-game suspensions in here for violation of conduct policy, so... Yeah, 10 is the longest one that Chris Henry, Cincinnati Bengals, violation of personal conduct policy back in 2007. Tank Johnson, Bears, alleged possession of 6 firearms, violation of probation on other charges. He got an 8-game suspension in 2007. I'm scrolling through this here, so pardon.
That's fine. So we're looking, we think 8 to 10, somewhere in that vicinity, might be the case. So we'll see where all this plays. And here's the thing. I think it's going to be done before training camp. So that's July 30th. So we've got 2 months basically for this thing to be resolved, at least for this season. And like you said, maybe they leave it open ended, Daryl, where they can suspend it for. Go ahead.
Yeah. Most recent, October 2nd, 2018, 8 games for Michael Kendricks. That was a violation of the conduct policy stemming from a guilty plea to insider trading. So,
those
are the longest ones I was able to dig up for you.
Thank you, Daryl. You're the best, man. We always appreciate it. We'll keep bothering you about this until it's resolved. We'll talk about it, and maybe the next time we'll talk to you, and Baker Mayfield will be on another team. We'll see what happens. All right, bud?
We can only hope, Kenny.
Daryl Ryder, follow him on Twitter @RyderWrongFan and on Instagram @RyderWrongFan, and hear him on 92.3 The Fan.